You got to love the title of this message. When hearts are stirred, things happen. Changes take place. It's one thing to have our emotions touched. That happens all the time. But when the Lord stirs our hearts, things happen. Great things take place. May the Lord stir our hearts tonight and steer them to do His work. Now, in order for the worship to take place, the children of Israel needed a tabernacle, a place of worship. And in order for there to be a tabernacle, they themselves needed to build it. See, God wants to enlist us in His work. He builds the church, but He uses His people to do it. The building of that tabernacle is going to take dedication on their part, dedication to the Lord. Listen carefully, and not just to the work of the Lord. It's a trap of our own flesh to be dedicated to the work of the Lord rather than to the Lord Himself. We can lose sight of the Lord in the midst of the work. It's easy to become wrapped up even in the Word of God and forget the God of the Word, or to be wrapped up in worship and forget the one we're worshiping, to get so wrapped up in the melody and the tune in the moment that we forget Him. We need to have our hearts stirred by the Lord, not just our emotions. Need I remind you about the church in Ephesus, where it says in Revelation chapter 2, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, says he who holds the stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, which represent the churches. I know your works and your labor and your patience, that you can't bear those that are evil. And you've tested those that say they are apostles and are not, and you've found them to be liars. And you've persevered and you've had patience and you've labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. It's like that statement right there cancels everything else out. All their work. You see, it's easy to become wrapped up in the work of the Lord and not necessarily be wrapped up in the Lord. It's easy to be dedicated to the work of the Lord and not be dedicated necessarily to the Lord. And those seven letters to the seven churches were designed to stir our hearts. In chapter 35, we're going to see that the children of Israel dedicate themselves to the Lord, to the worship of the Lord, and they do so through the building of the tabernacle. It was one of the ways in which they worshiped Him and served Him. And then the dedicating of themselves to the Lord, they dedicated their treasures to the Lord in giving, and they dedicated their talents to the Lord in serving. In chapters 36 through 39, we're going to start that section next week. We will see the children of Israel's dedication of themselves in the actual construction of the tabernacle. It's wonderful to watch how the Lord had worked in them and was now then working through them. And then in chapter 40, they then dedicate the tabernacle to the Lord, and He fills the tabernacle with His glory, His presence. In chapter 40, verse 34, it says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." But don't forget, that was the consequence of their dedication of themselves to the Lord and the building of the tabernacle and how He used them. Guess what? When you and I dedicate ourselves to the Lord by dedicating our treasures in giving and dedicating our talents in serving the Lord, the glory of the Lord will fill our temple. But for that to happen, there needs to be a stirring of our hearts. There's something about totally dedicating ourselves to the Lord, all that we have and all that we are, that brings a greater manifestation of the Lord's presence in our lives. Sure, the Lord is the one who has to stir our hearts, but we need to put ourselves in the place so that he can do that. Our hearts need to be stirred. 23 times in the Bible talks about us being stirred. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter said, I think this is right that as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by reminding you. He was talking to the church about the return of Christ. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Apparently, Timothy was timid and was backing off from the work when his heart should have been stirred up to use the gifts that God had given him for the work. Now, from our text in Exodus chapter 35, when hearts are stirred, five things happen. Number one, when hearts are stirred, the commandments of the Lord are applied. We're not just listening to the word, we're doing it. That's in verses 1 through 3. God's commands are no longer just words in a book or a plaque on a wall. We actually start doing them and applying them in our lives. It says in verse 1, then Moses gathered all the children or a congregation of the children of Israel together, and he said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. That's really the whole issue, isn't it? Things would be a lot better if we just do what the Lord tells us to do. When we come to Bible study, when we study the Bible, it's not just to learn the commandments of the Lord. It's to do them. It's to apply those principles to our lives. We need to apply what God says in His Word to our lives. And when hearts are stirred by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, then the commandments of the Lord are applied to our lives. God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When God moves upon our hearts, there's a growing desire to obey the Word and to do what He says. It says in verse 2, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest, notice, to the Lord. Well, I thought it was for me. No, it's for the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Evidently, this is serious. You shall kindle no fire throughout all your habitations on the Sabbath day. And so in these three opening verses, where we learn about the commandments of the Lord and how they're to be applied, the focus is on the Sabbath. It's upon the worship that needs to take place on that day. The very day in which it ought to be obvious to us that the Lord is stirring our hearts. When our hearts are stirred by the Lord, we will worship the Lord. But we've got to stop for a moment and give everything over to the Lord and listen to the Lord alone. The Sabbath day was to be a day of rest in which the focus of the life was on the Lord and on the Lord alone. And there was a serious consequence to not doing that. To disobeying the Sabbath law was death. It was to be holy, set apart, notice, for the Lord or to the Lord. It says in verse 3, you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. Why? Because there'll be a temptation to cook and get your mind away from focusing on the Lord in particular. Nothing at all was to be done on that day. A person was to rest, to devote their entire mind and focus upon the Lord. The Lord was to dominate their thinking on that day. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church in Colossae, and he said, if then you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. And yet, we let things on this earth dominate our thinking. But God here gives the children of Israel one day in which He wanted them to totally devote themselves to Him. He wanted their minds focused on Him. And don't you think it's interesting that before they take on the actual work of building the tabernacle, He reminds them, one day a week, I want your complete focus and attention. And why is it we think we can get more done? We're going to work every day of the week, all day long. We don't have time for devotions or whatever else, and we never accomplish what we... Have you ever finished everything you needed to do in one? It just never happens. It's a trap. Boy, is this a lesson that we need to learn, that we're not to lose sight of the Lord in the middle of the work. So when hearts are stirred, the commands of the Lord are applied. Secondly, when hearts are stirred, the contributions of the people are abundant. Look at verses 4 through 9. You don't have to beat people over the head for them to give. You don't have to resort to begging in the name of the Lord. When people's hearts are stirred, giving becomes second nature. They're glad to do it, and they're blessed to do so. And Moses, verse 4, spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering, a contribution," and notice, "to the Lord." Some of us need to mark that in our Bibles. It's to the Lord. "Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering," here it is again, "to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze." God didn't want anybody bringing anything to him who was not willing, whose heart was not stirred by him to give. The Apostle Paul picks up the same thought writing to the church in Corinth when he said in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, or whose heart is stirred, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work." Meaning, if you give, God's going to take care of everything else. They were to bring an offering to the Lord. All the contributions were to be dedicated to the Lord, not to the church, to the Lord, not to the building program, to the Lord. That's an important point to remember when we're giving. That way we can just let it go and let the Lord worry about what happens. When King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, you remember David wasn't chosen to build the temple because he had blood on his hands, but he did store up some of the materials for the temple. And in 1 Chronicles 29, it says, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is this greatness and the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You're exalted over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and we praise you, your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." And he goes on to say, "God, so that you, I also know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I've seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." Do we really understand that everything we have or we think is ours belongs to the Lord? It's the Lord's anyway. And many times, it's in our giving that the Lord is testing us to see where we're at with Him. I like what one preacher said. We give away our greediness. It's not easy to let this stuff go because we got things we want to do with it. But it belongs to the Lord. He tests our dedication to Him and what's important. Is your mind really in heaven and the things there, or is it on this earth? Is it with me or is it with you? Gold, silver, and bronze. In verse 6, blue and purple and scarlet yarn, fine linen thread, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. These were all things that were needed for the building of the tabernacle, which Moses had outlined for us in the previous chapters. And now God's people are getting ready to actually do it. They're receiving all of these offerings so that they could get to the building of the tabernacle. And these were all voluntary. In that day, there was no such thing as legal tender, so they gave the actual materials for the building of the temple, the tabernacle. This was all stuff that they had gathered from Egypt, which, if you remember correctly, God gave it to them on the way out. God knew they were going to need it for the tabernacle. Let's never forget that the offering was not for the building of the tabernacle, but it was to the Lord. That's so important to remember in our giving. And so many times when we give, there's strings attached. We need to let it go. What we give and what we do, it's offered to the Lord. And let's never forget that whatever we do give to the Lord, it's already His anyway. We're just returning a portion back to the Lord, saying that we recognize Your greatness. We recognize that it all comes from You. And it's our joy to do so. But the Lord had stirred the hearts to give to the point where Moses finally had to say, we'll read this in chapter 36 next week, to stop giving. In fact, it says, for the material they had was sufficient for all the works to be done. Indeed, it was too much. That's what happens when hearts are stirred. When they're not, it's like pulling teeth to get anything done. Here in Exodus, there was a willing heart, a willing spirit. They couldn't wait to get at the work of the Lord. Lord, give us that kind of heart. 1 Chronicles 29:5, it says, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? That's a question King David asked. And he could very well ask that same question today. Who of us is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord this day? God's looking for willing hearts. Are we willing? To the church in Macedonia, Paul wrote this about them and their giving. He said, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. They were suffering materially, yet it was a joy for them to give what they had. For I bear witness according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing of themselves. So when hearts are stirred, the commandments of the Lord are applied. We start doing what we're reading about in God's word. When hearts are stirred, the contributions of His people are willingly given up. They're abundant. Number three, when hearts are stirred, the Lord's people are available. Verses 10 through 19. You don't have to rope people into volunteering, bugging them until they do. They do it willingly. Why? Because the hearts are stirred. You know, in one sense, it's easy just to give of our money and then not get involved. Yeah, I've done my part. No, the Lord wants you. The Lord wants me. Thinking that we've filled our obligation when we haven't. And we've never made ourselves available for the work. God has given all of us talents and abilities. And so often we equate that with just giving money. We can contribute to the work of the Lord in a lot of ways. And don't forget, every one of us has received a gifting from the Lord, in which Peter said, as each one has received a gift, then minister it to it, meaning serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Our hearts should be so stirred by the Lord and what He's done for us that we should literally be looking for things to do and for people to help. In verse 10, it says, all who are skillful. I love the old King James. It says, wise-hearted. Among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. They are going to use their talents. They've already given their treasures for this, but they're going to use their talents to build the tabernacle. And I like how the old King James uses the word wise-hearted. It recognizes that so many times what we do in the work of the Lord is a matter of the heart. Wise-hearted. Also, according to the way that it's arranged here grammatically, it's pointing out that whatever skill that these people had and were going to use in the making of the temple was given to them by the Lord. Let's not forget that. So whatever we have has been given to us by the Lord. Whatever talents we have been given to us by the Lord. How can we be stingy with that? Well, it's easy when our hearts aren't stirred. He says, you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. You know, there's something in that. You don't just take off and do whatever you want to do. We're part of a body. You have a function in the body. I have a function in the body. And if we're not doing what we're supposed to do in that body, then we're spastic, running in all directions, getting nothing done. The Lord's work is to be done the Lord's way. The ability that comes from God must be combined with activity that God directs. Look at verse 11. The tabernacle, its tents, its covering, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets. Nothing's left out. The ark and its poles with the mercy seat, the veil of the covering, the table and the poles and all its utensils and the showbread, all the lampstand for the light, its utensils, its lamps, the oil for the light, the incense altar, the poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, and the screen, the hanging for the doors at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles, its utensils, and the laver in its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars, their sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the hanging again, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs of the court, and their cords, the garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. It's God's work, and it's to be done God's way. It's all laid out, all directed. God is a God of order. One old evangelist said, the greatest ability is availability. So now God says, here's the work. Those whose hearts were stirred made themselves available. Fourthly, when hearts are stirred, the commitment of the people is assured. That's verses 20 through 29. There's a difference between being willing and being committed. Being willing only gets you so far. Being committed gets you finished. At first, it seems they may be the same thing, but after a while, commitment is tested, isn't it? Our resolve is tested. Our commitment is tested with time. You might have started out good, but no one said thank you. We've all been there. Or somebody along the way hurts your feelings or whatever and you dropped out. You know, we all like to be appreciated, but who are we doing this for? In verses 20 and 21, the commitment of the people and the work was based upon their willingness. That's where it starts. And all of the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred. There it was again. And everyone whose spirit was willing. The old King James again gives us some insight and says, whose spirit made them willing. You see what happens here? God stirs the heart. It's a work of his Holy Spirit in us. But we have a spirit, our own spirit, small s, that needs to be willing to that. So God does the stirring, but we need to put ourselves in that place and be willing when God stirs our heart, not to just walk away from it, but to say, Lord, I feel like you're speaking to me. I'm signing up. I'm making a commitment. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all of its service and for the holy garments. Some of us out of duty are serving. And the Lord doesn't really want that. He would much rather have us out of love, the right motive. When your heart's not in it, you just do it, and that's all there is. You don't get anything out of it. When it's not coming from the heart, it's not, it's duty. Everyone whose heart stirred him up and whose spirit made them willing. There's a human side to us. There's a divine side to this. And we need to be willing to do what God says. I believe personally that he speaks to us a lot more than what we respond to. No doubt. God here is dealing with the inward man. The spirit of the man, it says, was willing here. And when you're dealing with somebody whose spirit is not willing, you can't do anything or say anything that'll stir them up to do any more than the bare minimum. And you're always having to coax them along the way. I'm afraid there's an awful lot of that in ministry, unfortunately. And sometimes we're asking people to do things that their spirit hasn't made them willing to do. They're just not connected with it. It's frustrating. Now, God wants to stir up our hearts, but he's not going to do it if we're unwilling. He's not going to force this on us. Isn't it interesting that all of this has to do with the heart? I found the heart in this passage 9 times. The heart. If God has a hold of the heart, then he can do anything with you, with me. And the word willing 5 times is here. That ought to tell us something. What kind of a spirit is in us? Do we have a willing spirit? Or are we committed only as far as it's comfortable? Or convenient? Now, there's something in our spirits that's renewed when we're born again. But we need to continue on in the spirit. And if not, we're walking in the flesh. And I wonder if that's not really the problem sometimes. We're walking in the flesh. We're not tuned in with the Spirit of God. And because we're not, our flesh isn't willing. Our spirits are. If we're walking after the flesh, we're not likely candidates to be stirred by the Lord. We have hard hearts. Everyone whose hearts were willing, and they're the ones who came and they did the work. And what I believe that this is saying to us is that real commitment comes when the heart is stirred up by the Spirit of the Lord. But our spirits need to be willing. It's a matter of our relationship to the Lord. In other words, God is the one who works. God is the one that stirs up our hearts, but we have to be in that place and be willing. They came, verse 22, both men and women. I like that. As many as had a willing heart. There's the requirement. And they brought earrings and nose rings and rings and necklaces and all jewelry of gold. That is, every man who had an offering of gold, and notice again, to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found an acacia wood for any article of the service brought it. And all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands, and they brought what they had spun of blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And we're reading here, the Lord wants willing hearts. It's not that we have to do it, it's that we get to do it. I'll tell you one thing is when you're doing the work of the Lord, you don't have time to sin. That's valuable in itself. When hearts are stirred, the commandments of the Lord are applied in our lives, the contributions of His people are abundant, the people are available to do what needs to be done, the commitment of the people is assured, you can count on them because there's commitment. And number five, the choosing of the leaders is accepted. When the hearts are right, there's not this grumbling and complaining about God's chosen leadership. That's important. That's verses 30 through 35. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." Notice that the ones that were to head up the work were called of the Lord. We don't place ourselves in places of in positions of authority. God does. Bezalel. The NIV uses the word choose. The Lord chose. God knows our name. And He calls us by name. And He puts us to work by name. He has something for every single one of us to do in the body of Christ. Every one of us is gifted. And so you don't have to promote yourself to do a certain work. You don't have to hang your resume on your chest and walk around. If God has called you to that work, then your heart's going to be stirred if you're close to Him, and there's going to be a commitment on your part to do it. Nobody has to drag you to it. And others around you will recognize the call of God on your life, like the camp of Israel recognized Bezalel. He's obviously the man that God called. And notice that God spoke directly to the leader, to Moses, as to who He would have do the work. And He has filled him, that is Bezalel, with the Spirit of God. In wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. Those who God calls to the work, He fills them with the Spirit so that they can do the work. Wouldn't that be terrible if God says, "I want you to do this," and He goes, "I'll see you later on the other side"? Wouldn't that be terrible? I'll tell you what, this pulpit right here is a place that you know. Sometimes you out there don't know because I've been on both sides of this, but when you're up here, you know when the Lord's with you and when He's not. And I tell you what, when He's not, you want to run. It's a great reminder that the Lord is the one behind the work and the one who calls and the one who fills us with His Spirit. And one reason why we flake out could be because the Lord hasn't called us or the heart's not stirred up or we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We need God's Spirit. I don't care how long you've been doing this. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. And to be filled with the Spirit simply means to be controlled by the Spirit. I was taught in pastoral school, you study and you commit yourself to it as though the whole thing depended on you, and then you let the Lord do it. You don't flake out on your side. You have to do your part, but you trust the Lord. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? It's an important thing. The normal Christian life is to be filled with the Spirit. It's unnormal not to be. It's not the other way around. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." If Jesus' disciples needed the Holy Spirit, so do we. If Bezalel needed the Holy Spirit, so do we. To design, They needed God's Spirit, His wisdom, His understanding, His knowledge. Well, you say, well, I'm a journeyman. I mean, I've been at this for a long time. No, you still need God's wisdom and understanding. To design artistic work, verse 32, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And notice, and he has put in his heart, that's his Basileel, there's the heart again, the ability to teach. And in him, that is Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. So he was to have a companion alongside of him to help with the work. But these people would not, these two men would not just do all the work, they would teach others how to do the work. That's so important that we duplicate ourselves in ministry. You cannot just do the work alone. I can't do it alone. Well, you could, but not much would get done. It'd be the size of the work would be to what you could do yourself. That's it. They were not only called of the Lord, not only controlled by the Spirit, but God chose them to teach others. God wants you and I to impart to others what He's taught us. We have a whole generation behind us that's taken this thing over when we're gone. That's scary, isn't it? We better have some input. Or the world will. Others will. He, that is God, verse 35, has filled them with skill. Again, the old King James says wisdom of heart to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. When God stirs up our hearts, all these things are true. Whatever God calls us to do, He's also going to gift us to do it. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit so that we can do it. And He wants us to pass that on. I've been reading about Elisha. And Elijah took him under his wing and showed him the ropes. And then he left. And Elisha took over. And God gave him a man named Gehazi. And he's showing Gehazi the ropes. Now, Gehazi was kind of a stinker, but you get the picture. We need to be involved in the work of the Lord. We need to work together. We're not to freelance. That's not how this thing works. Listen carefully what Paul said to the church in Ephesus. This is how a church grows. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's your motive. It's love. The whole body knit together, every joint, every part doing its share, and it grows. And so the issue that we need to weigh out in our hearts tonight is, are our hearts stirred by the Lord? And if not, if they're not being stirred by the Lord, then are we in the place where He can do that? I believe the Lord wants to do that. I think it's 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth to find or to show Himself strong in behalf of someone. He's looking for someone, for anyone sometimes. And there's nobody that just says, okay. Are our hearts stirred? We need to remember that God does the stirring. You can't muster this up because it's just your own flesh. God does the stirring. And when we're close to Him, close to His Word, when we're being obedient to Him, then He stirs us up. And we never stop. I don't want to ever stop. You know why? Because the devil catches up. You need to press on and do more. And you know, God works things in such a way the older we get, we don't have as much energy. But we have to use this more now, you know? And we're doing a lot more for the Lord than we used to do when we were 30. And partly because we're duplicating ourselves, we're doing all of these things. But we need to have our hearts stirred up. And when He stirs up our hearts, then our part is to be willing. I don't have all the answers past that. Some of these things aren't comfortable. Some of them you got to step out in faith. My pastor told me, Tom, don't ever turn down an opportunity to minister. One night he called me on a Wednesday night and he was in tears. I don't even know what's happening. Some family thing was going on. He said, Tom, I need you to cover for me tonight. I just worked a 12-hour day. I said no. I got back on the phone. I'm sorry, Pastor John. Okay, whatever, you know. Man, that was hard. I had no other recourse but to trust the Lord. Are we willing to answer the call? Are we willing to find ourselves in the place where God can stir up our hearts? And then are we going to trust Him for the outcome? Now, they were building a tabernacle. We already mentioned the Lord builds His church, but He uses people to do it. Are our hearts stirred up? Are we willing to do this? We don't ever get tired of the work. You can get tired in the work, but never tired of it. If our hearts are right where they need to be, and we're not looking to the accolade of man or for anything out of it except serving the Lord. He's enough. The Levites, their reward was Him. That's the wonderful thing about this. You can't forget Him in the middle of it. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for stirring up our hearts tonight. Lord, I felt like that You're doing that. I know You've been doing that in me today, Lord. Stirring up my heart. And I pray, Father, that as we walk out of here tonight, we wouldn't forget what we've heard. And Lord, there's no doubt that some of us, You've spoken to us about things You've called us to, and we just haven't said yes. We haven't been willing to do that, Lord. Lord, we're asking for Your Holy Spirit to be upon us, Lord, to fill us, Lord. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Lord. Stir our hearts up, Lord. We ask it all. We thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.